Today's program was brought to you by Domain. Domain offers discrete and secure storage, transportation, trading, and advisory services to passionate fine wine collectors worldwide. For more information, visit domainstorage.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good morning. You're listening to In the Drink on heritageradionetwork.org. I am your host, Joe Campanelli. And when I'm not hosting In the Drink, you can find me this summer at Altalinea. It's our outdoor restaurant at the Highline Hotel in Chelsea. It's in a beautiful courtyard of an old church seminary. And we have a bunch of great Italian wine and especially Italian aperitifs like frozen Negronis, vermouths to sip on, and the such. Please join me over at Altalinea all summer long, 5 to 10 p.m. and 5 to 11 on Friday and Saturday. And when we're coming to you live today from Roberta's Pizza, we have moved our time that we air to 11 a.m. from 10, and that is really just so I can eat as much Roberta's Pizza as possible a little bit later to be open when they're actually serving lunch. You can listen to us live at 11, or all of our episodes are backlogged on heritageradionetwork.org, and you can also subscribe to us on iTunes. All right. I'm really excited about, I feel like I bumbled the intro a little bit because I'm so nervously excited about today's guest. We have a special guest from the Valtellina region in northern Italy, in Lombardia, one of the family that makes the Arpepe wines. We have Isabella Pellizzati Perego. How did I do?
Hi, everybody.
From Arpepe. Isabella's family, I think, makes just the quintessential wines of the Valtellina. They are just so beautiful, nuanced. They're well aged before you receive them. They are just, I love them. You can find them at all of our restaurants, at Delani, Malartuzzi, Lepicio, at Altalinea. We have your wines on all of our lists. I love the work that you do. I love the Valtellina. It is a special, special place I've been to. I'm so excited to have you on the show.
Thank you, Joe. Such a pleasure to be here with you.
And we also have in the studio Claire Sheehan from Grand Cru. I do a lot of work with Grand Cru. If you see Grand Cru on the back of one of your wine bottles, you can be pretty sure that's going to be a delicious bottle of wine. They have everything from very high-end, very fine, nice Burgundy, and a growing and really excellent champagne list, to kind of quirky natural wines, which is cool to see these days, and these very fine classic wines like Arpepe. Claire, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
And thanks everyone for Grand Cru for organizing. All right, Isabella, can you tell us more about the Valtellina? I remember I was really struck when I visited by how, I almost want to say, extreme of a climate it is. It is a river valley that on one side of the valley, it's an almost Mediterranean climate where you have vines, I think I remember cactus and figs, and that's on the northern side. On the southern side, it's like alpine. You have like evergreen trees and chestnuts, and then the river in the middle. It seems like a pretty extraordinary place.
Yes, Valtellina, it's just further north in Lombardy, on top of Lake Como, on top of Milan. So we're just at the border with Switzerland, and it's a long east-west valley surrounded by very high mountains. So basically, on the north part, we have the Rhetic Alps, where all the vineyards are on, because it's the north part facing south. And then we have the Orobic Alps on the south part, facing north, that have no sunshine, and so are much more famous for cheese making and a lot of bush trees, all wild forest.
Yeah, and it's really just the exposition, how much sun you get, that totally changes.
Yeah, really, like even to call the dark side of Valtellina, the other part facing north, that it's really a little bit more unlucky. But the other part, it's with such much sunshine, like the southern island in Sicily, even in terms of hours of light. It's amazing. And also through the way that vineyards have been grown there. So really like destroying the rocks over the mountainside to create dry stone walls. And then they've actually filled up with the soil of the river, taking back on the shoulder generations and generations of work since Roman's time. So it's really a long, long time and crazy work. It was the only way of doing some cultivation there.
And the vineyards are extraordinarily steep.
Yeah.
I remember having a hard time and losing, and I'm a marathon runner, and losing my breath just walking up and down the vineyards for an hour or so. I can't imagine working in it all day.
Yeah, it's an amazing work, and believe it or not, we have 1,300 hours per hectare per year, which means one person per hectare per year to do all the job from when you put a plant up to the harvest. So it's a massive work. And you have to be well-trained to work on the mountains, of course, but it's such an incredible job, and it's such a passion to be there to work in this way with all families and generations.
Yeah. Now, our Pepe, as we know it today, was born the same year that I was, 1984, but it has a longer history than that. Can you take us back to the years before 1984 and then what happened at that time?
Yeah, together with my brothers, Emanuele and Guido, we are now the fifth generation of a family producing wine since 1860s. Then the family has been going up to 73 with the bigger companies. Up to that time, our brand was Arturo Pelizzatti, founded by the great-grandfather. And then in 73, our grandfather got ill, and for family reasons, father and grandfather decided actually that the best solution in order to divide in between the families was actually to sell. So they sold the cellar, the old brand also, but thankfully they didn't sell the vineyards. Vineyards were just divided into the family, and it was thanks to this that our father, just a few years later, exactly in vintage 83, was able to regain the full property of the vineyard that had been temporarily rented at that moment, and was able to start again with his own vineyards only. So he started with 10 hectares, and nowadays only we have 13 hectares, slightly increased in the past few years. But having sold the brand, he had to invent a new brand again. And so he decided to use his own full name, Arturo Pelizzatti Perego, like in the acronymous ARPEPE. So
ARPEPE is a little bit easier to pronounce. And now within the Valtellina, there are two subzones of their own DOCs that you really specialize in, Sassella and Grumello.
Yes, we have Sassella, 9 hectares, Grumello, 3 hectares, and 1 hectare also in Inferno that really never really made to the state because it's such a small quantity. But just recently we've been able to reach U.S. also with Inferno, with a little one that we make.
Great. And you're holding the Masnageti map, right? Or some map here.
Yeah, it's the Masnageti map.
Okay.
And I'm always very proud to go around and show and let people understand the way Valtellina is. Actually, we have 5 subdenominations in Valtellina of Valtellina Superiore. So we also have the Little Marroggia, that it's just at the entrance of the valley. It's 25 hectares only. And then we have the Sassella, one of the biggest, just at the entrance of Sondrio. And the Grumello just on the other side of Sondrio. So basically we have the big valley, the Valmalenco Valley, dividing in between Sassella and Grumello. And then we have the Inferno, which is also very small. And then we find the Valgella towards the end of the valley. Then there are also some other parts, the Valtellina Superiore, without the specific subzones in between. We are talking about a length of valley that it's around 40 kilometers where we have vineyards. Actually, in the past, used to be longer, the part with the vineyards. Basically, we can say double. And nowadays, we have only 800 hectares total. But up to the past, we reached a moment under the Swiss, period, in between 1512 up to Napoleon time, where Valtellina was having more than 5,000 hectares. And still up to the previous century, we used to have 5,000 hectares.
What happened?
Yeah, then due to the war, of course, we dropped down from 5,000 to 3,000. And also we lost a lot in the past few years due to some economics relationship, because Valtellina has been selling the most to Switzerland and the north part. where actually, I mean, due to the fact that Valtellina has been part of Switzerland, were in place some special economic agreements where Valtellina was actually considered like a Swiss wine. And so, as they always consume a lot of their own production, basically 90% of the product was actually going into Switzerland spontaneously. So basically in the past few years, Valtellina had to sort of reinvent their own market. And so that's why also, due to this fact, we've been losing a lot of vineyards. And I think our generation's objective is to try not to lose any more vineyards, because it's so important for us to maintain. We don't want to remain a museum in a few years. And we are also working, trying to insert all of this into the UNESCO heritage. That would be very important for all of us to try to protect and preserve for the future this area.
Do you think there are some top quality vineyard sites that are not in use anymore? Or is it really kind of specialized, focused, only the best vineyards are really what's left?
Well, I think the most are actually in place at the moment. So the important thing, since still nowadays only 30% of the land is belonging to people like us that are actually transforming their grapes to make wine, and most of the grapes, of most of the vineyards, 70% is belonging to little private who are actually selling most of the grapes to the biggest company. And so the objective will be to maintain all of this and try not to lose any more of these little pieces that we can lose here and there, because some older people maybe might not be able to proceed anymore, or children might not be prepared to proceed in the same way. So we need to try to protect all of this, to maintain for the future, and to make sure this land is not abandoned and the bush couldn't take over like has been done here and there in the past few years.
And approximately how many growers are there across the region?
Well, we have more than 1,000 growers, so it's a very big area.
And you said only about 30% or 300 of their own wine brands. Okay. Oh, wow. And then east to west, is there a marked difference in the climate?
Well, you know, Valtellina is very long, but also we do have a lot of perpendicular valley, either from Retic side and also on the aerobic side, which makes a very different microclimate here and there because of the, of course, of the winds. And it's such a unique area. And also in terms of elevation, we are talking about vineyards that are going from 300 meters up to 600 meters, more or less, for the DOCG. And there's a massive difference in between elevation from the lower part to the top part. And we should probably really talk about like a Burgundy area, the Valtellina, because there are so specific qualities here and there that we should be able to get the best from it, and do really our best to transform every single wine to make some specific area. And that's what also some small producer start to do, because some of the new producer we have recently on board in Valtellina are actually some people that used to be delivering the grapes to biggest company, and nowadays they decided to make their own wines. And so because of this, those people are trying to make their best from their single specific zone. And I think that's something so important for Valtellina, so beauty. And so
similar to what's going on in Champagne a little bit, where they used to sell to large producers. And then where do you think that Nebbiolo, at what height elevation grows best or does best?
Well, we normally dedicate the best, what we think is the best elevation, in between sort of 400 up to 600 meter, either in Sassella and Grumello, to our crew vineyards. And so we really think that the highest part, normally, it's the one better exposed to wind at the same time, because we have not to forget that being the lake so close, it's very much mitigating the area in general, so we do not have very cold winter. And also we always have a great breeze during the summer, which is also preventing from molds in the vineyards as well. And of course the higher part in the vineyards are also the much more well exposed to the wind as well.
Right, but eventually you get too high and you see you have the snow-capped mountains behind you, so you can't can only go so high. But 600 is really the cap. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Isabella from Arpepe just after this.
Domain offers discreet and secure storage, transportation, trading, and advisory services to passionate fine wine collectors worldwide. Since 2003, they've focused on making collecting easier and more enjoyable. With over 1.5 million bottles in storage across five facilities, Domain is the largest network of wine storage warehouses in the country. Warehouses are located in Chicago, St. Louis, Metro New York, Napa, and Washington, D.C., with refrigerated shipment hubs in dozens of cities. Their service also extends to the home collector. In the last decade, the team has organized and inventoried more than 1.7 million bottles in home sellers across the globe. Recently, Domain has launched a marketplace where clients can buy and sell wine. Trading in the network ensures that wines are stored at Domain facilities and commissions are the lowest in the industry. Go to domainstorage.com to complete an online questionnaire and someone will get back to you within one business day.
All right, we are back on In the Drink. I'm here with Isabella from IPepe. We have in front of us an absolutely delicious bottle of wine, the IPepe Sacella Roche Rosé Reserva 2002 vintage. I want to shoot a question over to Claire. So 2002, not necessarily a vintage that you consider to be a great vintage throughout Italy, but in the Valtellina, it's like this legendary, extraordinary vintage. When you are bringing people this wine, do you have to explain that to them, or do you find that most people understand that Valtellina is different from the rest?
I think that a lot of times, because the grape, we're sharing the same grape with Piedmont, people just assume that it's the same region. And I remember even selling these wines in restaurants and having to explain to people, although they're on the same page, really Valtellina is Nebbiolo for Burgundy lovers. They're kind of more nuanced, softer tannin. But I think the 2002 is a great example of the differences of the two regions.
They are so much softer. And Isabel, why do you think that it expresses in such a more elegant and softer way? It doesn't have the hard tannin. That's a really good point, Claire, that you might find in Barolo.
Well, our Nebbiolo, it's much more floral in a way. And as I was explaining the soil, we have very much fragmented rocks, very sandy soil, because it was actually took over from the river, which is very much a glacier, rock, sandy soil. And so this is the first thing. We do not basically have clay in Valtellina, so they are very much different soil. And then the microclimate, it's a very much cold climate, Nebbiolo at the same time. And so we always have this florality, this freshness, and this strong minerality coming from the rocks as well, which makes the wine so easy to drink at the same time.
Tell us what 2002 was like there.
Yeah, 2002 was really an extraordinary vintage, so extreme in a way, because we had also a very cold summer. But thankfully, we didn't get any hail. That was the main problem everywhere, apart from Burgundy problem. And then we just had a magic September and October. So hot, so beautiful, and with a good excursion between night and day, which is also key for us in the final moments. And so we were actually picking the grapes for this wine on the 30th of October, super late, and that was amazing. And I think a vintage like that would probably be so impossible to repeat in a way. Like, for example, sometimes I like to compare with 01 and 05, that will be the next vintage. They are both much more classical vintage, or to, in a way, such a singing vintage, so expressive, so open, and it's so unique. I think we'll be much more in trouble to repeat a vintage like that, because it's such an incredible different vintage from anyone else.
Yeah, so I can buy this 2002 from you at Grand Cru right now, right? This is available. This idea of aging a wine for such a long time before releasing it, is that something that has been done since the early days? Is that something that is traditional and historic to the Valtellina in any way? Because I think that when I explain like the wines of Lopez de Heredia in Rioja, I mean, that's something that had been done for a while there. To understand, like, what is the actual tradition, or is this something that is RPPA specific and a modern idea today of a traditional sort of wine?
Well, we've always been aging a lot in Valtellina, our Nebbiolo, because I think it's getting much even better through the long aging. At the same time, the discipliner at the time used to be that for a Riserva used to be minimum 5 years aging. So since he got the DOC and DOCG, was sort of normal to do 5 years, then was actually dropped down to 3 years, as in other regions, so like in Barolo, so to make a specific Riserva, so you could have been doing in a younger way. But we really have been focused since ever to this longer aging, because that's really what we believe in, because Nebbiolo to us express its best through long aging. We can really see the great potential of those vintages through this way of working. And so that's why we stick on that, and we try to do even more, because, for example, in the past few years we've been actually increasing the aging in bottle, because we believe that in a way, as long as it stays in big wood, should stay in bottle before being released to get the best balance. And this is something that we keep learning through our experience, and we really believe it's something so important too. And so this wine has been doing 4 years in the biggest and eldest chestnut barrel, 50 years old. And then it has already 6 years in bottle right now, so I think it's ready to drink.
It really very much is. And what's so unique about it for me as well, the first my first nose of it, it seemed older when I first picked it up. And as it's opening and as I'm swirling it, it seems like it's getting younger, as opposed to many other very, you know, aged wines that the fresh, vibrant fruit starts to kind of fall off and isn't as vibrant. Here it's starting to come out more and more, and it seems more youthful than my first taste of it.
Yeah, and then I'm always so surprised also tasting it. I was still young in a way. In a way, still a baby. You still get all this freshness and this strong minerality, and that will tell you that this wine can go through extra 20, 30, 40 years, just depending on the quality of the cellar you have, and no problem.
And if your cellar is Domain Wine Storage, then excellent quality. So you can age it for a long time at Domain. That's incredible. And we've spoken, we've mentioned Sasella quite a few times. Can you tell us what's specific about the Sasella terroir, especially where you are in Sasella?
Yes, in Sasella area, we have very little quantity of soil and much more rocks. So that's why you always get this extra strong minerality, this a bit of austerity maybe, but then that brings a lot of complexity and a lot of freshness to the wine. And and on top of that, we can say that it's also a very windy area because of the Valmalenco area, that it's bringing all the breeze coming from the north part. So it's a very beautiful area.
And you only specifically grow Chiavanasca or Nebbiolo, but we're in Valtellina, so we'll call it Chiavanasca. Is it the same clones that you might see down in Piedmont, even in Alto Piemonte, or is it a specific clone to this area?
Chiavanasca, it's really specific to Valtellina, but it's Nebbiolo 100%, and has been grown here since ever. And in fact, the recent studies in between Piemonte and Lombardy universities has been took off that in Valtellina there is much more biodiversity of clones of Chiavanasca. More than 10 clones have been selected and put in production that make you really understand that probably the origin area of Nebbiolo could be this area. Because from a genetical point of view, this is really what's coming out, because only time is giving you all these great, faces and diversity. And we've even found out that some specific varieties that we thought they were sort of autochthons, they are instead predecessors of Nebbiolo. So they are genetically linked to Nebbiolo. So that's we can really talk about 100% Nebbiolo or Chiavanasca in Valtellina.
Are these other grapes that we might know of, or can you share this?
Well, some grapes that we thought of, like Pinola, or that we thought they were specific, they are not.
No, it's related to Nebbiolo.
Exactly.
That's fantastic. And I remember a dish from my time in Valtellina that I really loved called pizzoccheri. And it seems to me a perfect dish to drink with, to eat with a glass of this. What are some other, are there other specific traditional foods that you like with your wines?
Yes, pizzoccheri, it's our typical dish made with buckwheat pasta that is handmade. We have a lot of dish with buckwheat, like buckwheat polenta. We have a lot of game meat as well. And cheese are going everywhere. And we have the two famous cheese from Valtellina, the Vitto, which is made only during summertime when cows are on pastures above 1,300 meters. And this cheese can be mature for more than 10 years. It's amazing. It's so fantastic, so fresh, made by raw milk. And it's amazing, something to discover. And at the same time, also, we have the Valtellina Casera cheese that is made during the rest of the year. And it's also very well used either for the polenta, the pizzoccheri, and some other dish. So we have many interesting...
The food's outstanding. It's a certain level of richness, but when you have a wine that has this much acidity and freshness and so flavorful, it pairs very well with it.
Absolutely.
And just finally, I want to talk about your labeling of Reserva. I think... You choose the Reserva on most of your wines, except for maybe the Rosso di Valtellina. Why is it that you go with this Reserva generally?
Well, we like to call Reserva because we want to pass the message to the consumer that it's our choice to be releasing those wines so late. So even for the youngest version, let's say our Bordolese bottle that we make, We call them Reserva because we release after the minimum 3 years that is allowed to be called Reserva. And in a way, we would like to call Gran Reserva those bottles, but we are not allowed by law. So we call it our crew wines because they are all made from single vineyards. And it's really our way of talking of the long-aging wines because at the beginning, there were sometimes a bit of misunderstanding about the way we were releasing so late. People were not really understanding why we were doing so. And I think by the talk about Reserva, people do really get the point, and that's important for us.
How much wine do you have in your cellar right now? There must be so much. You're a small winery, I know. But if this is your current release and it is 14 years later, there must be so much wine in your cellar.
Well, when our father did start again, as we were saying, in 83, and we started with the vintage 84, for 6 years he was making wine without even selling one bottle because he really wanted to recreate these older vintages and older aging. So we always have minimum 6 years traveling around in the cellar in between the wood, the concrete, the steel, the bottle. And so it's a lot of wine, and when we are lucky, we produce something like 80,000 bottles per year. But actually, it's not all the same, of course, every year, because we had some very bad vintage, as we were saying. Like 2008 was a very big ale year for us, so we decided not to make any wine, for example. And also, wow. 2014 has been very difficult, and we took the decision to do only Rosso di Valtellina. So, for example, was only half of our production, and will be only Rosso, so...
So the high-quality Rosso in 14,
yeah.
Especially. It's always so good. All right.
This is what the bottles... you can't see photos on the radio, but this is a nice idea of what the cellar looks like.
Wow. I mean, that is much taller than a person. It's like... that's incredible. How do you even keep track of all of that? That's crazy.
Well, of course we have to keep tracking because it's important.
It just looks like a wall of wine that is all... Yeah. It's truly impressive. I really love the work that you do. Claire, I'm sorry I didn't ask you too many questions.
It's fine. Happy to be here.
Well, it's always good to hang with you anyway. So excited to see Isabella and taste this Arpapé 2002 Sassella Roche Rosé. It is a great wine. And what else, the one thing I forgot to mention that I love when producers age the wine for a long time at their own cellars, is that for me, it's much more of an assurance that the wine is going to be in really good quality, because if the wine is shipped shortly after it was fermented and bottled and then aged in different cellars here in the States, it's never as bright, it's never as good, it's never as pure, as clear. And this wine, it's just fantastic. And I love the work that you're doing. You can find our Pepe at all of our restaurants. Thank you, Isabella.
Thank you, Joe. Such a pleasure to be here.
Claire, thank you so much. Thank you to everyone at Grand Cru for helping to organize this. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
You guys do just outstanding work. Love working with you. And I wanted to thank both David and Aaron and Jack and everyone here at Heritage Radio Network. You guys are awesome. Thanks for organizing this. Thanks to Domain Wine Cellars. If you buy some already 14-year-old Arpepe and you want to age it more, which is a good idea, then age your wine at Domain. It is a great place to do that. And thanks, you guys, for listening. This has been In the Drink on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.